So we know that the Romans were practicing some forms of medicine in the 2nd century AD, but how much did they really understand about the human body? Professor Vivian Nutton studies the history of medicine at University College London, but one particular physician he works on is Galenus of Pergamon. So Vivian, when and where was Galenus practicing?
Galen was born in 129 AD in the Greek-speaking area of what is now Turkey, and he trained at Alexandria in Egypt, and then he spent 60 years or more of his life in Rome as a practitioner and as doctor to a succession of Roman emperors. So he's really a Roman doctor.
Right, and he was quite the anatomist as well. So how did he actually look at the anatomy of the human body?
He believed anatomy was the key to medicine. He himself had never dissected human specimens successively. What he did was he was a surgeon, so he had surgical training, but he believed in practicing surgery on animals to look and see how a living body worked. So he used skeletons, he used his surgical practice, and he used experiment on animals.
Was he actually allowed to look at human bodies in the 2nd century AD then?
No, not really. There's a taboo, I think, rather than a legal prohibition. But he could certainly see skeletons, and he advised people to take the best opportunity they could to look at a body. For instance, wander over a battlefield and poke around in corpses, or look at somebody hanging from a gibbet.
Ooh, yuck. But you've managed to locate a document that describes some of his work. So where did you find it, and what does it add to the story?
Well, I've been working on a text which has been almost forgotten for 500 years. And it's called On Problematical Movements of the Body, in which Galen tries to understand how the body works. What is the relationship between the brain and other parts of the body? And he asks all the right questions and comes up with all the wrong answers.
And what exactly are those wrong answers?
Well, he believes very strongly that the brain, if you like, controls things. And many people believe the brain worked through nerves. But he then says, well, possibly it doesn't always work through nerves. Sometimes, he says for the tongue is filled with air. When you stick your tongue out, the brain sends signals that pump air into the tongue. Alternatively, he says, each part of the body may in some way communicate directly, like a living being, with the brain. So he sees each part of the body as having, in a sense, life within it, and an independent, almost independent existence that can talk to the brain and chat with the brain. If the brain thinks of something, that part of the body immediately responds.
Right, so if each part of the body has effectively its own soul, and I feel a bit like that sometimes, I have to say, then how did Galenus describe our control over it?
Well, he believed that sometimes the brain directly controlled things through nerves. He did enormous amounts of experiment on nerves and effectively discovered many new pathways of the nerves. And so for him, the brain and nerves work together. But at times, this thing doesn't quite work. Certainly, it isn't a conscious decision. And one of the things he talks about in the book is the relationship between consciousness and activity. Do we do things because we want to do, because we decide to do, or does imagination play a role?
Right, and how did his findings, how did that feed into practical medicine of today, or even medieval medicine?
His views became dominant in medieval medicine, except that the medieval people, on the whole, took his conclusions without his experimental attitude. He believed in experiment in dissection. The 16th century rediscovered the merits of dissection as the very basis for human anatomy. And for a long while, Galen's views, taken up by his later followers, dominated. But he believed in things like that he didn't believe in the circulation of blood, and gradually his ideas fell out of fashion. So in one sense, they don't contribute, but in another, they do, because they stimulated lots of people to think about anatomy and the role of anatomy in practical medicine.
So what else can we learn from his approach to medicine?
what one can learn is that is two things. The first is that to be a doctor, you've got to observe. And he's an enormously powerful observer. And the second thing is that he says, if you observe, you also need to think. And that is a powerful message that he gives, and very important for any doctor today, in linking observation and thinking.
Well, we'll have to leave it there, but that was Professor Vivian Nutton, and he's based at the Wellcome Trust Centre for the History of Medicine at UCL.
Lifting the lab coat on the world's best science, the Naked Scientists.